A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He wants to know what calligraphy supplies actually make sense for someone starting from absolute zero. And honestly, this is one of those topics where the sheer number of options is itself the problem. There are thousands of nibs, hundreds of inks, and a bewildering array of paper types. But here's the number that should stop you cold. A 2025 survey by the Calligraphy Society found that 73% of beginners who quit within the first 3 months cited frustration with supplies as the primary reason. Not lack of interest. Not lack of time. Their tools failed them before they ever had a chance.
That tracks with everything I've seen in the community. The pandemic-era calligraphy boom has matured into a steady hobbyist market, but the supply chains have shifted significantly. Several classic beginner nibs, the Nico G especially, are now frequently out of stock, and a wave of new alternatives has emerged. The beginner who walks into a craft store or opens Amazon with no guidance is walking into a minefield. I've literally watched people in craft store aisles pick up a bottle of India ink and a random sketchbook and think they're set. They are not set. They are about to have a very frustrating weekend.
Let's start with the decision tree that every beginner faces, and why most people pick the wrong branch. The thing about decision trees is they only work if you know what the branches actually mean. Most beginners don't even know the categories exist.
The first fork is between three completely different categories of calligraphy pens, and they are not interchangeable. You've got dip pens, traditional, cheap to start, steep learning curve. Fountain pens for calligraphy, more convenient, higher entry cost, but much more consistent ink flow. And brush pens, modern, forgiving, but limited in the range of traditional styles they can produce.
We're assuming the listener has zero calligraphy experience and wants to spend under $50 total to try it out. That budget constraint shapes every recommendation we're going to make. If you can't get started for the price of a dinner out, the barrier is too high. And I want to pause on that budget point, because $50 is actually a really interesting threshold. Below $50, you're in impulse purchase territory. Above $50, you're in... I need to think about this. Territory. And that psychological barrier kills a lot of beginner enthusiasm before it starts.
There's actual behavioral economics research on hobby adoption that shows a sharp drop-off in conversion rate when starter costs exceed roughly the cost of a nice meal. $50 is the sweet spot where someone can say, I'll try this, without having to budget for it. And the good news is, $50 is genuinely enough to get a proper setup, if you know exactly what to buy and what to avoid.
So here's our structure. First, the pen decision. Which type and which specific model. Second, the ink and paper ecosystem, which honestly matters more than the pen itself. And third, the hidden costs and common traps that cause beginners to quit. The first and most important decision is the pen itself.
Walk me through dip pens. This is what people picture when they imagine calligraphy, right? The nib, the holder, the little bottle of ink you dip into?
That's the classic image, and it's still the cheapest viable entry point for pointed pen calligraphy. A dip pen setup breaks down into three components: the nib, the holder, and the ink. You can get a Speedball Oblique pen holder for $8 to $12, and a pack of assorted nibs for $6 to $10. But here's where most beginners get steered wrong. The Nico G is the most commonly recommended beginner nib, and it is frequently out of stock. But more importantly, it has a frustratingly small sweet spot for ink retention.
What do you mean by sweet spot? I think a lot of people hear that term and picture something vague.
The amount of ink the nib holds between dips. Dip too deep and you get a blot. Too shallow and the nib runs dry halfway through a stroke. The Nico G is a good nib, but it's less forgiving than people admit. For a true beginner, I'd point them toward the Hunt 1-1, which is fine and flexible and gives you excellent line variation, or the Brow Steno, which is stiffer and far more forgiving. The Brow Steno in particular. It's sometimes called the Blue Pumpkin nib because of its distinctive shape and blue finish. It holds ink consistently and doesn't catch on paper the way sharper nibs do. Imagine trying to write with a needle that snags on every fiber. That's what a poorly matched nib feels like on the wrong paper. The blue pumpkin glides.
So the calligraphy world has already solved the naming problem. Good to know. But I have to ask, why blue? Is there a functional reason for the finish, or is it purely aesthetic?
The naming conventions in calligraphy are their own strange subculture. The blue finish on the brow steno is actually a protective coating that prevents rust during storage and shipping. It wears off gradually with use, which is normal. It's not a defect when the blue starts to fade. But the point is, the brow steno lets you focus on letterforms instead of fighting the tool. And at roughly $2 per nib, you can buy a handful and experiment without breaking the budget. If you destroy one, and beginners destroy nibs, you're out $2, not $20.
Then there's the fountain pen route, which is where I suspect you're about to get excited.
I am excited about this. The Pilot Parallel, 2.4mm, $12 to $15. It is the undisputed king of beginner calligraphal fountain pens. This is not a modified writing pen. It was designed from the ground up for broad-edge calligraphy. It was first released in 2005, and it uses a unique two-channel feed design that prevents railroading.
Explain railroading. This is one of those terms that sounds like a historical accident, but is actually a technical problem. I've seen it happen and never knew it had a name.
Railroading is when the ink splits into two parallel lines instead of filling the full width of the stroke. It looks like railroad tracks on your paper, and it's the visual signature of a feed that can't keep up with the nib's ink demand. Picture a wide brush that's running out of paint. You get paint on the edges, but nothing in the middle. Most flat-edged fountain pens struggle with this because they use a single-channel feed designed for pointed nibs. The Pilot Parallel has two parallel channels in the feed, so ink flows evenly across the entire width of the flat edge. It's such an elegant engineering solution that it's almost boring. It just works every time.
Until someone lets the ink dry in it.
But that's a maintenance issue, not a design flaw. The other fountain pen option I'd mention is the Lamy Joy with a 1.5 or 1.9mm nib, around $30 to $35. It offers interchangeable nibs, which is nice if you want to experiment with different line widths. But the feed is less forgiving of pressure variation, and the learning curve is steeper. For a beginner on a budget, the Pilot Parallel is the better call. The Lamy Joy is what you buy when you've decided you're committed and want to expand your toolkit.
That's a useful distinction. The difference between a starter tool and an expansion tool. Most beginners buy expansion tools first because they look more serious, and then they struggle because those tools assume skills they haven't developed yet.
Then brush pens. This is the category that seems to have exploded in the last few years. Every craft store now has an entire aisle of them.
Two subcategories here. Water-based brush pens, like the Tombow Dual Brush at about $6 each, and pigment-based brush pens, like the Pentel Feud Touch at about $4 each. The water-based ones are better for beginners because they blend easily and they're more forgiving if you leave them uncapped for 30 seconds. Pigment-based pens are waterproof and more archival, but they require more deliberate stroke planning because the ink is less fluid. Think of it as the difference between watercolor and acrylic. Watercolor gives you time to work and blend. Acrylic demands that you commit to each stroke.
There's a catch with the water-based ones.
They feather badly on cheap paper. The ink is dye-based and water-soluble, so it wicks into paper fibers aggressively if the paper lacks sizing. On the right paper, they're beautiful. On printer paper, they look like a fuzzy mess. I've seen beginners post photos online asking what they're doing wrong, and the answer is always the same. The pen is fine, the paper is the problem.
You're telling me the pen choice is actually a paper choice in disguise.
It always is. And that's the critical insight that most beginners miss. Here's what I'd actually recommend. Most beginners should start with a Pilot Parallel and a Tombow Dual Brush. Two pens totaling under $25. To experience both broad edge and pointed pen calligraphy before committing to a dip pen setup. Broad edge is what you see in Gothic and Italic scripts. Pointed pen is what you see in copperplate and modern calligraphy with the sweeping thin and thick lines. These are fundamentally different skills, and trying both for under $25 is an incredible deal. It's like test driving both a manual and an automatic before buying a car. You need to know which experience you actually prefer.
Let's build the cart. If someone is listening right now and they've got Amazon open, what are they putting in?
Here's the exact $45 starter bundle. Pilot Parallel 2.4mm, $14. Tombow Dual Brush 2-Pack, 1 black, 1 gray, $10. Rhodia Dot Pad A5, $8. Higgins Eternal Ink, $6. Speedball Oblique Holder, $7. Total, $45.
What's the beginner trap version of this cart? Because I know there's a darker version of this shopping list sitting on a shelf somewhere.
Walk into any craft store and you'll find a $35 calligraphy kit. Wooden dip pen, 6 nibs that don't fit the holder properly, and a bottle of India ink that will clog the nib within 20 minutes. The nibs are usually unbranded, the holder's flange is set at the wrong angle, and the ink is shellac-based, which means once it dries in the nib, you're scraping it off with a razor blade or throwing the nib away. These kits are designed to look complete on a shelf, not to function as actual tools. The packaging is beautiful. The contents are landfill.
It's the musical equivalent of a guitar from a department store. Looks right, costs enough to feel legitimate, and is actively harder to play than a real instrument.
That's exactly the dynamic. And it's worse in calligraphy because the failure isn't immediately obvious. A bad guitar sounds bad immediately. You strum it and you know. A bad calligraphy setup produces results that look almost right but slightly wrong, and the beginner assumes it's their technique, not the tool. They practice for weeks, getting worse results than they should, and then they quit thinking they lack talent. The tragedy is that they probably had plenty of talent, they just had tools that were actively working against them.
The $45 cart is the real entry point, and that's with a dip pen holder included for when they're ready to try it. The holder sits in the drawer for a few weeks, and that's fine. It's there when you need it.
The oblique holder is there for later. Start with the Pilot Parallel and the Tombow Brush Pen. Get comfortable with both. Then try the dip pen once you understand how ink behaves on the page. You wouldn't learn to drive in a Formula One car. Don't learn calligraphy on a dip pen.
Okay, so you've picked your pen. Now here's the part that nobody tells you about. The pen is actually the least important part of the equation.
I'd go further than that. Calligraphy is about 30% pen, 40% paper, and 30% maintenance. The most expensive pen in the world writes poorly on the wrong paper, and the cheapest pen writes beautifully on the right paper. Paper is the most overlooked variable in the entire craft. I've seen people spend $100 on a pen and then write on a dollar store notebook. The result is always disappointing, and they always blame the pen.
What's actually happening when ink hits paper? Let's get microscopic for a second.
Paper for calligraphy needs something called sizing. It's a gelatin or starch coating that prevents ink from wicking into the fibers. Without sizing, the ink spreads sideways through the paper like water into a paper towel. That's feathering, the fuzzy, spreading edges that ruin the crisp lines calligraphy requires. Most printer paper and sketchbooks lack sizing entirely. They're designed to absorb ink quickly for fast printing, which is the exact opposite of what you want. Printer paper is engineered for speed, not beauty.
Thickness isn't the same thing. This is the trap I fell into when I first started.
This is one of the biggest misconceptions out there. Calligraphy paper is not just thick paper. Thickness prevents bleed through ink soaking through to the other side, but it does nothing for feathering. The critical factor is surface sizing, not paperweight. I've seen beginners buy heavy cardstock thinking it's calligraphy paper, and what happens is the ink sits on the surface and never dries. They smudge it hours later because there's no absorption at all. The ink is just sitting there, waiting to be ruined.
How do you test a paper if you're not sure? Give me the field test.
Draw a line with a wet brush pen, wait 10 seconds, then rub your finger across it. If it smears, the paper lacks sizing. If it's dry and crisp, you're good. This is actionable knowledge. Anyone listening can do this test right now with whatever paper they have at home. Go grab a piece of printer paper, draw a line with any pen you have, wait 10 seconds, and rub. You'll see exactly what I mean.
The gold standards for beginners.
Rhodia, 80 grams per square meter, coated, $8 to $12 for a pad. Rhodia uses a specific formulation of calcium carbonate as a filler that creates a slightly alkaline pH, which prevents fountain pen inks from feathering. This is why it's the default recommendation across the entire fountain pen community. It's not magic, it's chemistry. The other option is Tommel River, 52 grams per square meter, incredibly thin but heavily coated, $15 to $20. Tomoe River shows ink sheen and shading better than almost anything else, which is why fountain pen enthusiasts love it, but it's so thin it crinkles easily. Rhodia is more durable and forgiving for beginners who press too hard. If you're the kind of person who bears down on the page, Rhodia will tolerate you. Tomoe River will not.
Then there's the paper trap you mentioned. The stuff sold as calligraphy paper on Amazon that's just thick cardstock with no sizing.
It's everywhere. It's usually marketed with words like premium or professional or heavyweight, and it prevents bleed-through, which makes beginners think it's working. But the ink never properly dries because there's no sizing to control absorption. The result is smudging, sometimes hours after you've finished writing. It's the most frustrating experience imaginable because it looks fine until you touch it. You finish a piece, you're proud of it, you leave it on your desk, you come back later and brush it with your sleeve, and the whole thing is ruined.
Let's talk about ink. You mentioned India ink is a trap. What's actually going on with ink chemistry? Because ink is one of those things where the label tells you almost nothing useful.
There are three categories that matter for beginners. India ink is shellac-based and waterproof. It's permanent and archival, but if it dries in a nib or a fountain pen feed, it's essentially permanent there too. You cannot clean it out with water. It's only suitable for dip pens that are cleaned immediately after every session, and even then I wouldn't recommend it for a beginner. It's like giving a student driver a car with no brakes. Calligraphy ink is gum arabic based and water soluble. It's designed specifically for dip pens. It has the right surface tension to stay on the nib, the right viscosity to flow smoothly, and it cleans off with plain water. Higgins Eternal is the classic example. It's been in continuous production since 1920. It's the longest-running calligraphy ink formulation still available. It flows well, dries in 5 to 10 seconds on Rhodia paper, and it's forgiving. It's not waterproof, but for practice and learning, you don't need waterproof. If you spill a glass of water on your practice sheets, you've lost some drills, not a masterpiece.
106 years of continuous production. That's not a brand, that's an institution. At that point, the formula has survived because it works, not because of marketing.
There's a reason for it. The formulation just works. The third category is fountain pen ink. Water-based, low viscosity, designed to flow through feeds without clogging. But here's the catch. If you try to use fountain pen ink with a dip pen, it won't stay on the nib properly because it lacks the surface tension. It'll just run off in a blob. Different tools, different inks. You can't put diesel in a gasoline engine and expect it to run.
The maintenance trap? You said 90% of bad nib complaints are actually dried ink problems. That's a bold claim.
A beginner who doesn't clean their nib after every session will blame the tool. The nib will skip, the ink flow will be inconsistent, and they'll assume they bought a defective product. The fix is simple. Rinse with water, dry with a lint-free cloth, and store nibs in a sealed container with a silica gel packet to prevent rust. That's it. Takes 30 seconds. And yet, I'd estimate maybe 1 in 10 beginners actually does it consistently.
The silica gel packet is the one they've been throwing away from every shoebox they've ever bought.
Start saving those. Nibs are steel, and steel rusts. A rusted nib will never write properly again. The silica gel packets absorb ambient moisture and extend the life of your nibs dramatically. It's the cheapest insurance policy in the entire craft. Free if you're already buying things that come with silica gel packets.
There's a knock-on effect here that I think is worth pulling out. The choice of pen type determines what learning resources are available to you. This is something I don't think gets discussed enough.
This is such an important point, and almost nobody talks about it. Broad-edge calligraphy. What you do with a pilot parallel has a more structured learning path with clear letter form rules. Foundational hand, italic, gothic. These are systems with specific proportions, specific stroke sequences, specific historical exemplars you can study. The curriculum exists. Pointed pen calligraphy. Dip pen or brush pen is more freeform and relies much more heavily on muscle memory and pressure control. There's less structured curriculum available for beginners. You're kind of on your own to figure out the progression.
The beginner who picks pointed pen first is making a harder choice without realizing it. They think they're just picking a tool, but they're actually picking an entire pedagogical approach.
They often struggle because there's no clear progression. With broad edge, you learn foundational hand first. It's called foundational for a reason, and then you branch into italic or gothic or uncial. Each script builds on the skills of the previous one. With pointed pen, you're thrown into copperplate or modern calligraphy with no scaffolding. It's like being asked to run a marathon when you haven't learned to jog.
That's actionable. If you're the kind of person who learns best with structure and clear milestones, start with the pilot parallel and broad edge. If you're comfortable with ambiguity and want to develop your own style faster, the brush pen or dip pen route might actually suit you better. Neither is wrong, but you should know which kind of learner you are before you choose.
The beautiful thing is, you can try both for under $25. There's no penalty for being wrong. Buy both pens, spend a week with each, and see which one feels like home.
Let's talk about the Higgins Eternal on Rodeo Combo specifically. You mentioned it as the most reliable beginner pairing. Why has this particular combination become the default?
It's the gold standard for a reason. Higgins Eternal is a non-waterproof calligraphy ink, gum arabic based, as we said. On Rhodia paper, it dries in 5 to 10 seconds. It flows smoothly off the nib without blobbing. And it cleans off with plain water. No solvents, no scrubbing, no ruined nibs. For a beginner who's going to make mistakes and need to clean their tools frequently, that water solubility is a feature, not a bug. You want an ink that forgives your errors. You can rinse a nib in the middle of a practice session and start fresh in 30 seconds.
The Tomoe River comparison. When would someone want to spend the extra money on that instead? What's the moment when Rhodia stops being enough?
Tomoe River is for when you've fallen down the rabbit hole and you want to see what your ink can really do. It shows sheen, that metallic shimmer you get with certain inks, and shading, the variation between light and dark within a single stroke, better than Rhodia. But it's thin, it crinkles, and is less forgiving of heavy hands. Beginners who press too hard will wrinkle it. Rhodia is the training wheels paper. Tomoe River is the upgrade. You buy Tomoe River when you've been practicing for 6 months and you want to see your ink in its best possible light. You don't start there.
After all that, what should you actually buy? Let me give you a concrete shopping list that will cost less than a dinner out.
Buy a Pilot Parallel and a Tombow Dual Brush before buying anything else. Spend the remaining budget on good paper, Rhodia, and one bottle of Higgins Eternal. This $45 setup will last 3 to 6 months and covers both major calligraphy styles. You do not need a dip pen on day one. You do not need 5 different inks. You do not need a fancy oblique holder. You need 2 pens, good paper, and 1 reliable ink. Everything else is a distraction.
The single most important skill to practice first is not letter forms. This is going to surprise a lot of people.
It's pressure control. Spend your first week doing nothing but hairlines. That's the lightest possible touch. And shade lines, that's heavy pressure to create thick strokes, to build muscle memory. Most beginners skip this and jump straight to writing words. They develop bad habits that take months to unlearn. Your hand doesn't know how to modulate pressure yet. You have to teach it. It's like your hand is a new employee who's never done the job before. You can't expect it to perform complex tasks on day one.
This is the calligraphy equivalent of a pianist doing scales. Nobody wants to do them. Everyone who's good did them.
It's exactly that. Boring, repetitive, essential. If you can't produce a consistent hairline and a consistent shade line, your letter forms will never look right, no matter how carefully you copy an exemplar. The tool control comes first. The artistry comes after. You're building the foundation that everything else sits on.
The third thing, join a community before buying more supplies. This is the step that saves people from becoming supply collectors instead of calligraphers.
The r/calligraphy subreddit's wiki has a beginner's guide that is more comprehensive than any YouTube video I've seen. The Fountain Pen Network forums have classifieds where you can buy used nibs and holders for 50% off retail. The community is generous with knowledge and generous with deals. You don't need to figure this out alone, and honestly, posting your practice sheets and getting feedback is one of the fastest ways to improve. Someone will spot the thing you're doing wrong that you can't see yourself.
The concrete plan, before the end of this week, buy the starter bundle. Find a free exemplar sheet for foundational hand if you're going broad edge, or copper plate if you're going pointed pen. Commit to 15 minutes of practice per day for 21 days. After 3 weeks, you'll know whether calligraphy is for you, and you'll have spent less than $50 to find out.
That 21-day commitment is the real variable. The supplies matter, but they matter because they remove friction. A Pilot Parallel doesn't railroad. A Rhodia pad doesn't feather. Higgins Eternal cleans off with water. You're not fighting your tools, so you can actually focus on the practice. The supplies create the conditions for success. The practice is where success actually happens.
Here's the thing about calligraphy that nobody tells you. It's not about the pen, it's about the practice. But the right pen makes the practice possible. Those two truths have to sit side by side.
That's the through line of everything we've said. The $45 cart we built isn't the cheapest possible setup. It's the cheapest setup that won't actively sabotage you. There's a difference. You can spend less, you'll get less. And the less you get might be so frustrating that you quit before you ever really started.
Let's zoom out for a minute. The calligraphy industry is at an interesting inflection point. Traditional nib manufacturers, Estabrook Hunt, are struggling with supply chain issues. Meanwhile, Chinese manufacturers are flooding Amazon with $2 fountain pens that are surprisingly competent. The question is whether the next generation of calligraphers will learn on disposable pens, or whether the craft's tactile heritage will survive.
Parallel to that, digital calligraphy tools are improving fast. An iPad Pro with Procreate brushes gets you remarkably close to the visual result of physical calligraphy, and the barrier to entry is approaching zero if you already own the hardware. But the physical feedback loop, the scratch of nib on paper, the capillary action of ink into fiber, is something digital tools cannot replicate. You can simulate the output, but you cannot simulate the process.
The question is whether that physical experience matters to new practitioners. I think the answer depends on why they showed up in the first place.
I think it depends on why they're coming to calligraphy in the first place. If they want to produce beautiful lettering for Instagram or wedding invitations, digital tools might be the better path. If they want the meditative experience of making marks by hand, the thing that forces you to slow down because the tool demands it, then physical calligraphy is irreducible. You can't simulate the moment when a nib catches on an upstroke and you have to adjust your pressure in real time. That moment of friction, that tiny crisis, is part of the craft.
That's the thing about physical crafts. The constraints are the point. Remove the constraints and you've removed the thing that makes it meaningful.
A brush pen doesn't let you write faster than the ink can flow. A dip pen forces you to pause and reload. The rhythm is built into the tool. Digital calligraphy removes those constraints, and in doing so, it removes the thing that makes calligraphy feel like calligraphy. The pause between dips isn't an interruption, it's part of the practice.
It's the difference between playing a piano and programming a synthesizer to sound like a piano. The output might be similar, but the experience of making it is fundamentally different, and for some people, that difference won't matter. For others, it'll be the entire point.
Neither group is wrong, but you should know which group you're in before you invest in a direction.
Let's land this. If you're the person who's been thinking about trying calligraphy for the last 6 months, you know who you are. Here's what you do. Pilot Parallel 2.4mm, Tombow Dual Brush 2-Pack, Rhodia Dot Pad A5, Higgins Eternal Ink, $45. Then spend 21 days doing 15 minutes of hairlines and shade lines before you write a single letter. After that, you'll know.
If you hate it, you're out $45 and you've learned something about yourself. If you love it, you've built the foundation for a skill that will last the rest of your life. Either way, you didn't waste 3 months fighting a $35 craft store kit that was designed to fail. You gave yourself a fair shot.
One last thing. If you found this useful, share it with one friend who's been thinking about trying calligraphy for the last 6 months. Send them this episode. The cart is in the show notes. Next week on My Weird Prompts, we're answering a listener question about whether fountain pen inks are safe to use in vintage pens. Spoiler, the answer is more complicated than yes or no.
Much more complicated. Some vintage pen sacks will literally dissolve with the wrong ink. We'll get into the chemistry of why that happens, and which modern inks are actually safe for pens made before 1960.
Now, Hilbert's Daily Fun Fact.
The word katabatic, describing winds that rush down mountain slopes, comes from the Greek katabeno, meaning to go down. In the 1860s, British surveyors in Nepal documented katabatic winds roaring down Himalayan valleys at night with such force they could flatten tents and scatter expedition equipment across miles of terrain.
Ed, flatten tents. That's a wind that means business. This has been My Weird Prompts. I'm Korn.
I'm Herman Poppleberry. Our producer is Hilbert Flemingtop. Find us at myweirdprompts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go buy some good paper. It matters more than you think.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.